It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
We will. Again, Gordy is out today, has a sore tooth, and we'll continue the program anyway. It's the John and Gordy Media World Family Show. This is what it's all about, and this portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger, on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. You can find them on the east and west sides of Madison, or just go online, verlo.com. Check it out if you can. This is John Peterson and Sam. We're holding down the fort, and today we have our special guest from the Main Street Alliance. It's Executive Director Richard Trent. Welcome to the city of Madison. You told me off the air here that this is your first time in town, right?
Yeah, this is I feel like or it's like almost a homecoming. I had such a good time last night. It was really good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But thanks so much for having me. This is great.
Well, we're known for State Street, the local businesses here, and that's one of your projects is to make sure and support small local businesses against the large major chains, the monopolies out there that are trying to drown them out. Take over or take some of their business away, the brick and mortar stores. Online is a danger to all of it. What are you doing in that aspect? What is part of Main Street Alliance doing about the monopoly pressure on small businesses?
Well, I think we recognize that when you uplift small business voice, right? When you tap into the testimony of folks that have been serving blocks like State Street for decades, it's really, really powerful. And more elected officials need to hear that testimony. So more than anything, what we do is we build community among small business owners. We uplift their stories and really channel it towards policy that is small business friendly, because we know how different small businesses from large businesses and monopolies. Small businesses are responsive to community need.
Right.
They create 2/3 of new jobs, and 50% of all jobs are small businesses. We've seen this effect where large companies come into great towns across America, drive down prices, put small businesses out of business, and then as soon as there's no competition, jack the prices back up. And so what that spells is main streets across the country that have essentially been looted by these monopolies, and no one wants to see that. That's a super lame main street that's devoid of charm and vibrancy. So we're trying to keep Main Street vibrant and bouncing all across America.
And you know, it's kind of hard to do too. State Street, you know, Madison, one of the main goals is to keep it local. You know, keep the big chains out, the big stores out, or the big restaurants out as well. They want local restaurants. They want more of the local businesses as opposed to just eateries, but you know, they want the craftsmen, the people who actually produce something, make something, and are able to sell it at their own shops here on State Street. And that's what Madison has been all about for many, many decades.
And I could feel that at Cooper's Tavern yesterday.
At
Salvatore's Pizza, Tomato Pies. There's like a lot of pride in the local, right? And using fresh local ingredients. And it shows up. There's a soulfulness to the food that is, you know, I don't want to bad talk the East Coast too much, but it just felt
Go ahead. We appreciate that.
A little East Coast bashing, yeah.
But, you know, when we look at local products here, local produce, you know, we have a thriving farming community in this state. We can get a lot of that produce into these stores, into the restaurants that are here locally. And that's one of the great projects that this city has tried to encourage. How does Main Street Alliance work with that?
Well, I think the we recognize that there are policies that ultimately improve small business operation and make it easier for local entrepreneurs to do business. And where that is the case, we try to identify folks that are impacted by policy, uplift their voices. So, I mean, a lot can be said around Governor Evers and the billion-dollar plus of support that he poured into small businesses at the height of the pandemic. I'm sure many of the restaurants and businesses here on State Street are still, bouncing today, and because of that investment, and that's like that's real foresight from our elected leaders. I think there are other issue areas where if you can elevate small business voice, whether it's Medicaid expansion, more affordable child care counts, these are things that maybe historically haven't been tied to small business operation and keeping small businesses viable, but they really do matter in terms of keeping operating costs low, helping small businesses hold on to top talent. And so we're trying to build more connective tissue between all of those different issue areas. And the best way to do that is through the testimony and stories of entrepreneurs themselves.
I've always said that one of the ways we could really encourage business and cut the cost dramatically is to do something about health care. I think universal health care coverage in the entire United States would benefit business beyond anyone's imagination. I mean, we are so held up by that.
Yeah.
It is such a major cost for small businesses because, if you're a small business, if you provide health care, it's a very expensive proposition.
Sure.
And you just can't, as a store owner or business owner, have your own insurance without insuring your employees. You have to have insurance for them as well.
Right.
So it's a tough balancing act. And if we had universal health care coverage in this country, these businesses would prosper.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have this one thing that holds them up.
Mm-hmm. I think what makes Main Street Alliance special is we really do try to ground truth our own policy agenda by really connecting with small business owners, and overwhelmingly, small business owners report that like the top of mind concern is healthcare and the cost of it, being able to provide it affordably for their workers, there's a lot of scary stuff kind of looming on the horizon.
There is.
I mean, if you think about the premium tax credits, which have been the device that have kept premiums low and on exchanges since the Affordable Care Act came into existence over a decade ago, that's up for that could expire in 2025. And if it does, you could expect a 60-year-old couple making $80,000 a year, their health insurance costs are going to go up by $17,500 or something like that annually. That's crazy.
I know that during the pandemic they added to that premium help, and that's going away at the end of 2025. So the premiums will be going up. There's still assistance on that for those who need it, are in the right income bracket. But that's going away, that extra benefit. It has been extended because it was such a good idea and so many more people were able to get health care.
Yeah.
That they kept it going, and we have to renew it at the end of 2025. And if this election goes in the wrong direction, we are not going to see that happen.
And I think that this speaks to the importance of building, again, more connective tissue between different issue areas. Because there are a lot of folks that are very, very interested in healthcare. How can we provide it more affordably? That aren't necessarily paying very close attention to the tax code. But we need our tax tax code buffs in the same conversation as the healthcare buffs, because it all comes together there. And so the bigger tent coalition that we can build around these different issue areas, I think the more likely it is that small business owners can notch some wins at the policy level.
That's right. On your website, you did write this: fight for an equitable tax code and ensure sufficient revenue for robust public investments that benefit small businesses and communities.
Yeah, I think it's not the sexiest topic, right?
one of the most important topics, though.
It is, and we're trying to figure out innovative and exciting ways to talk about it and get folks into it. But essentially, the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was a massive corporate handout, lowering that rate from 35% to 21%. If it's extended, it's projected to lop on another $4 to $5 trillion to the national debt.
Yeah.
Which is a crazy depriving America of revenue at a time when small business owners more than ever need investments in infrastructure to help sustain their own operations. So,
and it's being used to talk about cutting Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, it's
crazy, isn't it?
It's hard even to fathom. But we need to build a lot of solidarity and a coalition that is fighting back against that, that sees through the kind of scam of saying, oh no, but there's the pass through deduction for small businesses.
Yeah,
those benefits accrue to the top 10% of pass throughs, and you know, folks like Trump and you know, billionaires have a million different pass throughs themselves that are gleaning the vast majority of tax benefits out of that pass through deduction. So we got to see through, I think, a lot of the lies and continue building power around sensible tax policy that keeps America funded to do big, bold things for entrepreneurs.
There's kind of an attack on small businesses by the Republicans, the MAGAs. Because they're going after funding for small businesses, especially minority-owned businesses that are getting funding by organizations, private businesses that are going together, and they're donating this money to expand the small business opportunities for, let's say, Black business owners.
Right. There is definitely that they're kind of linking it to anti-DEI.
Yes, like, yeah.
The Fearless Fund was the kind of the case that resounded most recently. But if you listen to the RNC, they are kind of invoking, though, the power of small business and the need to uplift working class families. I think because there's the recognition that the coalition, the conservative coalition that's for the longest time been held together by these kind of red meat cultural issues, it's actually starting to fray. And there is the need to speak to some sort of economic populism, because folks are hurting across the country. Small business owners are hurting, and we need to do everything that we can to keep them buoyant and strong. And I think they are being savvy and kind of tapping into that. How genuine it actually is a whole other story. But
all right, well, good luck on all of this, and thanks for stopping by the city and the radio station this morning.
Thanks for having me.
It's really interesting to find out what's going on out there and how we can solve this kind of problem. We're talking to Richard Trent from Main Street Alliance, rather, and I appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Main Street.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show. John Peterson here alone today. Gordy has a toothache, so we're giving him a little time off. Never happens in radio, but we're big-hearted here. We didn't force him to come in, and right now we have Brittany Merlot online. We've got to talk to her about what's going on in the weather. What is going on in the weather? It's so gorgeous out there right now. It's just, I mean, this time, for once, and Gordy can't be here to hear it, a great weather forecast, right?
I know. It's going to be so perfect. He won't even believe it. Maybe this is why he took the day off.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I smell a plot here.
I think so. He wanted to enjoy this beautiful day today. Gorgeous sunshine out there. High pressure is settling in, and it's going to take over today, tomorrow, and into Friday before it starts to move off a little bit. So highs today, well below average. We're only going to reach the mid-70s.
Yeah.
And the further north you go, it's going to be in the upper 60s, which is just crazy. It's the middle of July. You know what I mean?
It is.
Upper 60s up north, that's that's chilly, if you ask me. But I'll take the mid-70s. Absolutely comfortable. That humidity has sunk down to the south. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to start to sneak back in here until next week.
Oh, well, then we can really super enjoy it out there. And, you know, with the cooler temperatures, maybe we'll see a few of those mosquitoes die off.
Oh, please. Man.
So how are your mosquito bites, the big bruises that you experienced up there in the north country?
They're finally healed. I would say it takes a good week for those things to disappear because, oh my goodness, were they itchy. I don't know if they were black flies or what that was, but they lasted longer than those average mosquito bites.
Yeah, I would say the black flies would cause something more like that than anything. I'll never forget my trip up north. It was just one of the most nightmarish situations way back in the 60s. We drove up there, up to Eagle River, and we came out to our car one night after hanging out in the bar, and it was just filled with flies. There were so many huge, gigantic flies inside the car. It was just ridiculous. We had the windows open. So you
True.
Don't do that.
You can't do that.
You do not do that in the North Country.
John, we mentioned the electric hot dog cooker earlier.
Yes.
Have you ever used one of those like handheld bug zappers?
Yes.
Yeah. Those are great, aren't they?
Yeah.
Brittany, have you used one of those?
Yes. Yeah. So you guys talking about the actual one that looks like a tennis racket? Yeah.
Have
you seen that? Yeah. Yeah. Just whack them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they zap on there as you hit them. It's great.
So you just What a sport.
It's a good investment, right?
We were talking about the hot dog zapper. Did you ever use one of those, Brittany,
no,
at all?
What is this?
Yeah, you
Tell
never
me.
Saw one? Yeah, if you go to Goodwill, they normally have a whole bunch of them. No one uses them anymore. But you put one end of the hot dog on an electrode, and you put the other end on an electrode, and it completes the circuit. You plug it in, you turn it on, and it zaps them. It cooks them instantly, and sometimes they explode.
Yeah. What?
Yes.
Why we need to bring this back? How did this go out of style?
No, we don't want to bring that back.
Well, I said earlier, who thought this was a good idea? What happens if you put one finger on one and one finger on the other? You get cooked then.
But that doesn't happen. You know, it has to have some kind of water or, you know, some kind of some liquid to
I
it.
See.
You know, so you don't want to do that. I don't think it was ever dangerous or else they wouldn't have sold them. Right? I mean,
well,
just
they
by
sold a lot
them.
Of things back in the day that wouldn't fly today, John.
Well, I guess you're right. Okay.
They were just tougher back then, I feel like. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, Brittany. Well, thanks for the great weather forecast, and thanks for giving us a fantastic weather forecast when Gordy isn't here. You know, maybe it's just a downer, you know, I don't know. Something like that. All right.
Exactly.
All right,
you
Enjoy have a good
it.
Day. Okay.
You too.
You take care. You know, we've got the RNC in Milwaukee, and we have fantastic coverage out there from Todd Elbaugh and Maggie Dawn and the special guests that they bring with them in order to discuss the previous day's guests and speeches. We've heard one this morning, you know, from CNN, the fact checker. But you got to check it out. Go to civicmedia.us/RNC, and you can get all the coverage, all the latest videos that we have of the guests and the discussions that we have in regards to all of the coverage for the RNC. I mean, we kind of know what's going to happen at the RNC, and it's one of those situations where we ask that everybody take a breath, take a step back, lower the temperature, the tone, make it better. And I haven't seen that at the RNC. Anybody see that? It hasn't really happened. So I didn't expect it to happen. I think for some reason, it seems like the left normally tries to accomplish these things. We, you know, tone it down a little bit. It's our idea. They don't like our ideas, so they go off on the opposite end of everything. I mean, it's crazy. Like I was talking earlier about J.D. Vance and, our presidential nominee now for the Republicans, the MAGAs. And this guy has small-town experience. You know, he has a dysfunctional family. That's why he was picked. He had a movie made of his life. So, and there's a lot of media connection in, in regards to, I think, why he was selected. I think that's why Trump selected him, because Trump, of course, had his own TV show, and now J.D. Vance has his movie out. And not only is Hillbilly Elegy kind of popular on the right, but it's also extremely popular on Netflix. I watched it. I watched half of the movie last night.
And you just couldn't take anymore.
I really couldn't take any. It was so depressing and so so dysfunctional. His family was just outrageously dysfunctional. And this is the kind of messed up guy we've got as our candidate for vice president on the right. But here's the thing. That movie is now very popular. It's in the top 10 movies on Netflix. I think it's number 7. So people are starting to watch this.
People don't want to read about the guy, so they just watch the movie about his life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's got an incredible cast of characters in this movie. I mean, there is, it's a star lineup. Ron Howard, who has put together fantastic movies, and I would assume, I thought he was somewhat left. He did this movie. He made the movie of J.D. Vance's story. I was a little floored just by that fact alone. It was crazy stuff. I want to. How much time do we have?
About a minute.
Oh, okay.
What did you want to get to?
Well, I think we could. I was going to play. I wanted to get to Scott Walker. He had some things to say about the convention and about policy, and I thought that it was very interesting stuff. We'll get to that maybe a little bit later on near the top of the hour. We've got a guest coming up in just a few moments, and that is our regular Wednesday morning guest. We're normally at the Short Stack, but in this case, we've got Mike McCabe coming in, and he'll be talking about what makes him unique, and that's why we have him as a guest. He's got some very interesting thoughts on vertical thinking and millennials taking over and taking charge. So we'll get to that and more with Mike McCabe right here on The Family Show. As we were saying,
let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by noses. Yes, when wanting to stick something in other people's business, more people use their noses than any other part of their face. Noses, available wherever olfactory body parts are sold.
Mad Radio, WMDX. John and Gordy, The Family Show, and John is alone today. No, I'm not. I have Sam with me. He's been hanging out with me. We're sipping coffee.
I'm chained to the desk as always.
Yes, and a great support. We have as our guest this morning, as we always do on Wednesday, and it's Mike McCabe. Sorry, we're not at Short Stack and the wonderful ambiance of being at that cafe.
I miss the crowd.
Yeah, I just love it there. It's fantastic.
And the clanking of silverware against plates. Yeah.
Yeah, stuff moving around in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, the city is alive and well, right? We're going to talk about some very interesting parts of your first book, right, Blue Jean Nation, where you mentioned something about vertical thinking. And, by the way, this is a suggestion from Rocker. Now, you know Rocker real well, and he said, he has this great thing about vertical thinking. You really have to ask him about it the next time he's in. And so, I paged through it, and I looked through it, and it is interesting. I think we can kind of relate it to what you were talking about recently in your Short Stack blog.
Substack blog.
Substack, rather.
Short Stack's the place we should be. There.
I know. I'm mixing it all up now. In your Substack blog, you were bringing up something about the progress that Wisconsin is well known for, and a lot of it is, or at least being attempted, to be taken down a little bit, or repealed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into that a little bit, because I know the vertical thinking thing, we can relate that in regards to this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what you were discussing on Substack.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to give
the
people...
The progress that Wisconsin has made.
Yeah, I just wanted to give people a reminder that Wisconsin had a long-standing tradition of leading the nation on public policy making on all kinds of different issues. First state in the nation to create kindergartens. First state in the nation to create a vocational, technical, and adult education system. First state in the nation to create an unemployment insurance program. First state in the nation to create a system for compensating workers injured in the workplace. Over and over and over again, Wisconsin led the way. Social Security was invented here at the University of Wisconsin, and then it was taken national. So Social Security has its roots in Wisconsin. First state to pass a statewide gay rights law. Over and over and over again, Wisconsin pioneered on issues of concern to people in this country, and other states copied us. It's really been about 40 years mm-hmm. since Wisconsin innovated in that way. Yeah, we kind of lost our way.
I got to tell you, I'm a little breathless from what you just said. You know, that is amazing that we led the way in all those really important parts of our lives. It almost makes you think that the Republicans aren't aware of any of that, our history, how we came about putting this in place, and we should be proud of what we did.
We should be proud of what we did, but I would say that the Republicans are acutely aware of that history because they've got a 900-page blueprint to dismantle it all.
Yeah, that's brand new. Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that bothers me at this particular moment, John, is that the Democrats, for quite a while now, maybe 40 years, have been playing defense. And the Republicans have a very detailed agenda of all the things they want to do. And a lot of it is just dismantling things that served people well. Where's the 900-page agenda for the Democrats? Where's the 90-page agenda for the Democrats? If they can't come up with 900, where's 90? And we've sort of lost that pioneering spirit in Wisconsin. And here the Republicans are holding their national convention in Milwaukee. Milwaukee had its glory days under a string of socialist mayors. And they were known as sewer socialists because they brought sewers to the city. They brought sanitation. Wow. They brought clean water to the cities. But they didn't just build sewers. Mm-hmm. They built a system of local parks. Public parks that were the envy of the nation. They built a system of public libraries. So they met the needs at the time that people had. And people didn't care that they called themselves socialists. They wanted progress. And that does bring me to that whole idea of vertical rather than horizontal thinking. We've been trained, we've been programmed to think about politics horizontally, from left to right.
Right.
And we put people on that spectrum. You're on the left, you're on the right, you're in the middle. And we've been programmed to think horizontally about politics. And what that does is it makes people on one end of the spectrum see the people on the other end of the spectrum as the enemy. A really magical thing happens if you flip that spectrum up on its head and think vertically instead.
Right.
Don't think about who's on the left and who's on the right, but think about who's on the top and who's on the bottom. And what happens then is people who might think of themselves as liberal and another person who might see himself as conservative actually are exactly on the same spot of a vertical spectrum.
They are. Yeah.
You got people, and I'm not just talking about people on top having the most money. But
right.
I am talking economically, but I'm also talking about political power. Who's got the most power? Who has the least? Who's got the loudest voice? Whose voice is muffled or can't be heard at all?
Mm-hmm.
Who does end up with being the best off, and who's the worst off, and who's really struggling? And there you've got people, some of whom might identify as Republicans, some of whom might identify as Democrats. They're right there at the same spot. They got so much more in common than we've been programmed to believe they do, because we keep thinking horizontally. We keep thinking about who's on the left and who's on the right,
right,
instead of thinking from top to bottom. That's just the way we've been conditioned to think. Well, if we break free of that and think a little bit more creatively I think a lot of what we face in this country right now, we're facing multiple national emergencies on so many different fronts. And people are afraid because emergencies are scary.
Yes.
And they want something done. And if the only agenda for action is to basically dismantle the federal government and completely reshape it, that is preferable to an awful lot of people to doing nothing, to just staying the same.
Yes.
We can't have a status quo party at a moment when the status quo is crumbling and breaking apart.
And being dismantled.
Yep.
And that's what we're seeing, especially, I think, when it comes to healthcare. I always bring up healthcare as a great example of the problem that we have, and that is healthcare, changing it is what people fear. They hate the system they have now. They're just putting up with it, but they're familiar with it. If we changed it and we had a universal healthcare coverage problem or a system in this country, they're worried that something might be there that they didn't know would happen. They're worried and they don't want to change it. They're afraid of that kind of change. And if you just add to it some fear factors that the cult is doing right now, the megas are doing right now in regards to, perhaps withdrawing some kind of care or rationing. They're always worried about that. And the megas and the right wing does bring that up often in order to put that fear in people. If we change, they're going to ration health care. Even though we self-ration constantly, we all self-ration. We do not see the doctor when we should. We try not to see the doctor because we can't afford it, and we don't have the money to pay for that visit. So it's constantly at odds with the better way of doing things and getting health care. So, it's one of the great fears.
Oh, yeah. And it's unfortunate that the Democratic Party, being so afraid of being labeled socialist,
yes,
not realizing that Milwaukee grew dramatically under socialist leadership, the city was at its best in its glory days under socialist mayors. But now the Democratic Party is afraid of being labeled socialist, so they are afraid of an ambitious approach to healthcare, like a national health insurance program. But hell, not only do people struggle to have health insurance coverage, but in small towns and small cities in our state,
yes,
they're even losing their hospitals.
They are.
They have no place to go if they do have coverage to get health care.
And there's money to fund them or at least help them survive, and that money has not been released.
Yeah.
The Republicans refused to release
that money. But the bigger solution, of course, would be raising Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement rates so that hospitals that take those patients can actually do so without going broke.
Right.
And there's this concern about spending money on healthcare, and so people go without medical care. Well, can you blame somebody who doesn't have a hospital to go to when they're facing a medical emergency, thinking, I just want to blow the system up.
Mm-hmm.
I want something dramatic to change because I can't. Housing is another huge problem. I can't make rent. I'm a low-wage worker, and I have a hard time paying rent. I'd like to be a homeowner. How will I ever be able to afford a house at the prices today? And then where do I go when I'm sick if there's no hospital in my local community? That's what a disturbing percentage of the population is facing.
Right.
When those conditions exist, my goodness, that's where you need leaders like Milwaukee used to have, who say, we're not going to have contaminated water. We're going to build sewer systems, and we're going to build water treatment plants, and we're going to make sure that people don't get sick when they drink the water that comes out of the faucet. And today we face similar crises, and the only party with an ambitious agenda seems to be the party that wants to dismantle
That's
everything.
That's right. Well, you bring up an interesting point about the socialist in Milwaukee. Let's say the Democrats decided to play up that history. Be proud of it.
Right.
Be part of what they were able to accomplish in Milwaukee, or even in the state for that matter, as socialists. So is it such a bad thing to have? I mean, we all have become used to having that kind of system in place. Now there's talk about dismantling that system because we don't really need it. And it's always tax cuts that are promoted and less spending for the public. And it's weird because we spend our money, we are taxed that money, and all they do is they hold it someplace and then they give a tax cut and the wealthy people get the money back.
Right.
And we don't get the benefits of paying our taxes. Right. We're paying taxes. We should get the benefits. It should be spent on us.
Right.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? And we should, I really think we should play up the socialist angle. What happened when we were socialists in Milwaukee and in this state, and how we progressed, and all of the benefits that we have, and now they're being threatened.
And that word has been demonized.
Yeah, demonized.
And
yeah.
And the socialist has been turned into a boogeyman. But the socialist mayors that Milwaukee had were practical leaders.
Yes.
They just wanted to solve problems, and they wanted to make life better for people, and they did. Mm-hmm. You know, people were drinking contaminated water. The drinking water was blended with the sewage, and they people were sick.
Yeah,
and so they said, let's build sewer systems and let's build water treatment plants so that the water that people drink is actually clean and won't make them sick. And let's build public parks so people have a place to recreate. And let's build public libraries so people who can find books that maybe can't afford one in a bookstore, but they can go find one at a public library. And expand their horizons that way. They were very practical leaders, and they grew Milwaukee.
Well,
Milwaukee grew explosively, and has really been in decline since the era of socialist mayors went away.
Man, you just summed it up. I mean, you should just write the platform, the frame. The frame is very important, and you just came up with the frame. That's how it should be framed. That's the offensive that we should be on. At this point, we've got Mike McCabe in the studio. ABN House is his Substack blog, and we'll be right back with more on the John and Gordy Family Show. WMDX, the John and Gordy Show. Gordy's out sick today, and we're taking your calls as well. Mike McCabe is our guest right now, and we have some callers who might have a few comments about what we've been discussing here, and that is to take the more progressive approach to things, or the more socialist approach, where a lot of things got done in the state that we should be very proud of. Nationwide, we should be proud of it. And if we just played it up a little bit, maybe people would be more convinced about keeping some of the stuff we've already put in place. So let's go to the phone lines here. Mark first on the John and Gordy Family Show. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, something that Captain popped in my head, but Paul Weyrich back in the 70s was complaining about too many people voting, and he was complaining about too many people believing in good government. And the whole purpose of government is supposed to be good government, to provide for the people. I mean, even going back to the Declaration, which some of these Republicans, they like to mouth some of the words of, but they don't seem to understand, is that one of our beefs against the British government at that point in time was not providing services for the American people who are paying their taxes, and but that's not getting laws passed to for the good of the people, and the laws for pollution prevention and for clean water and for providing health care are all good for the people, and Republicans want to completely strip that all away and live in a Hobbesian world of tooth and claw and just everybody against each other rather than together as a society where we actually, live up to, Matthew 25, we're actually supposed to take care of one another.
Right, exactly. And, again, I've mentioned this before, I think tax cuts take money out of the general fund. Spending on the public also takes money out of the general fund. Pick which one you think you can benefit from. All right, Mark, I appreciate your call. Let's go to Kurt now on the other line. Thanks for calling in the family show. What do you got, Kurt?
Good morning. I think you're missing a key component to the breakdown. If you look back, I was born in the 60s. Kennedy, and I'm not as good as Mark at quoting things, but Kennedy basically messages, what can you do for the government, not the other way around. Then Reagan came along and said the government is the problem, and we need to reverse that. And then things were kept in checks and balances, because back then we actually had a news force that was accurate and fair. And now the Republicans for the longest time at dismantling classes in high schools and grade schools, civics is an example. And you have a growing mass of people that are no longer have critical thinking skills. And it doesn't take much to get enough people in the fear mode or hate mode or I don't care mode to want to jump into something that's utterly ridiculous that will do harm to the masses. And in the news, Wisconsin, 50-year-old people and above think that Biden is going to take away their Social Security and Medicare. I mean, if you don't have a voting base that's capable of critical thinking and rational thinking, you can try to do everything you possibly can. It's not going to change it. So the root cause, as far as I'm concerned, are the people pulling the levers, mm-hmm. the voters. Mm-hmm. How are you going to change that mechanism?
That's a very good question, Kurt. What do you think, Mike?
Well, as I mentioned before, Wisconsin created the first kindergartens in the country and the first system of vocational, technical, and adult education in the entire country. Civic education was an invention of people with foresight mm-hmm. who realized that if we're going to govern ourselves in a democracy, we have to be educated. And we have to understand the workings of government. Well, civic education has been more or less dismantled. Mm-hmm. It's not
well, they require
treated seriously.
A civic test in order to get out of school.
Yeah, but there is virtually no civic education compared to what we used to have.
Yes.
There's
yes.
been so much emphasis on math and science and you know, civic instruction has just been sort of pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. Well, there were people with great foresight many years ago, generations ago, who said we've got to have a robust system of civic education, and we have to have a free press, a diverse free press, so that there's information for the people to make good decisions when they go to the ballot box. If we're going to govern ourselves into democracy, we have to have that. And there's been decades now of attacks on those systems. Well, now we have to reinvent these things. And we have to talk ambitiously about what we need to build, mm-hmm. As people did generations ago. And they convinced the American people that these were vitally important things, and they were put in place in places like Wisconsin, and then other states looked at Wisconsin and said, let's do that, because that state has right. it together. That state's going places. Let's do that. And Wisconsin's lost that pioneering spirit. So the caller's right. You know, there are many dimensions to the problem, many emergencies that need attention, but we currently have political leadership that's sort of saying, well, let's keep things constant. Let's just keep things the way they are. And then you've got another political force in this country that's saying, no, let's just dismantle it all.
Yeah.
Let's just tear it all down.
Yeah.
And that resonates with a lot of people who are frustrated, who can't make enough money to make rent. They don't even have a hospital to go to when they get sick. They're living in unacceptable conditions as far as they're concerned. And if the option is staying put or blowing stuff up and dismantling things, they'll take the dismantling.
Right. Try something different.
Yep.
And that's what it's always been about.
Yep.
I think at the same time, we have so many media sources now. And I think maybe everybody is being inundated to the point where they're just checking out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a party that's saying they're all fake news.
Mm-hmm.
So you have too much information. People check out because too much information is out there. And then another source is saying it's all fake news anyway. Why pay attention? So they're just listening to what people say to them. They're not looking into the facts or yep. what's behind it. And no one ever expected to have a party that just lied, just purely lies and makes it sound like the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think the founding fathers even imagined something like that happening.
Yeah, well, you know, propagandists are on the march, and when facts are shared, they say those are fake. And then they lie through their teeth and claim that it's the solemn truth. That calls for robust education Absolutely. So that people can see through that.
Well, I hope we can help people out a little bit here on the program. Mike McCabe, thanks for joining us. Abion House on Substack, not Shortstack. And I appreciate you being here this morning.
Oh.
Thanks for joining us, the John and Gordy Family Show. We'll be back again tomorrow.